Hello and welcome to the Fingal Business Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Fingal, one of 31 local enterprise offices around the country. Local Enterprise Office Fingal helps local business through a wide range of practical initiatives and programs. The LEO is your first-stop shop for business supports, so whether you're just starting out or an established business, Local Enterprise Office Fingal is here to help. The aim of the Fingal Business Podcast is to share quality information for small business owner managers to enable you to be more effective in running a successful enterprise. My name is Sharon Rossignuolo, and in this series, I'll be chatting to prominent business owners in Fingal as they share their experience and advice on running a successful business. For this episode, I am thrilled to be joined by Anne McGee from Myas Pharma, a Portmarnock-based business helping pharmaceutical companies access the EU market. Anne shares her experience of starting a business, the challenges and solutions she has encountered along the way, and why leadership is an ever-evolving process. So Anne McGee of Myas Pharma, you are very, very welcome to the Fingal Business Podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Anne, we'll dive straight into it because I suppose this is so different from any of the other businesses that we've talked about so far in this series. You operate in the vast industry of pharmaceuticals. So how did you come up with the idea of operating as a partner for businesses who want to release medicinal products into Europe?
Well, believe it or not, the idea came really from my clients themselves, listening to them. So I set up my first consultancy business back in 2004, and that was about using my experience and expertise, I guess, in the area of pharmaceuticals to tell people how to do this themselves, you know, advising them on what would be needed to set up in Europe. And these would be companies outside Europe that have a molecule that they want to make available to patients in Europe. So when I'd be giving that consultancy, the clients would say to me, God, it's so complex. Europe is so complex. There's so much we don't know. It would be great if you would do this for us. And I thought, well, why don't I do that? So I set up Myas Pharma and got the licenses that are needed to be able to operate in that space legally. And here I find myself today.
Brilliant, Anne. And you know, it's such a great idea. And so many of us are giving away information and consultancy for free when in actual fact, there can be a business that lies in the middle of that.
Yeah, exactly. And for a company that chooses to use our services, they can get to the market far more quickly than they would themselves because we understand the European marketplace. They're outside Europe. They don't understand it. So it would take them far longer to get their heads around all the requirements, the legislation, the interpretation, etc. And also it costs them less because they don't have to invest in the infrastructural costs up front to have a whole team of people in Europe doing what we can do for them under contract. And then it allows them the time to kind of find their feet in Europe and then to establish whatever, you know, build and grow and establish a full pharmaceutical company should they wish.
Absolutely. And, you know, just running through those benefits there, it's so important in general in business of being aware of where your customer is at, the challenges that they experience and how you bridge that gap and just knowing the benefit of what you bring and put a value on that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I find the clients, you know, Myas Pharma, would you believe, is my fifth business. I was trying to count today and getting ready to talk to you. And two of them were failures. They didn't work. Myas is the fifth, and hopefully this one will be successful. But it's always been, each one has been a response to clients saying to me, we really need A, B, C, or D. And then looking to see whether enough clients have wanted it and then looking for a way to deliver. So, yeah, I think listening to your clients is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Leo Fingal, that's often a thing. Even when we're doing the Start Your Own Business course through any mentoring, it always comes back to that thing. What problem are you solving?
Yeah.
So if someone wakes up with a headache in the morning, how can you be the aspirin or the Panadol for that headache as such?
Yeah.
And going back to those early days when you started out, what were the main challenges or obstacles that you encountered when creating this business, Myas Pharma, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I guess in the early days for me, it was trying to juggle all the areas of my life. You know, in the early days, I had young children when I set up my first business. So I was trying to be a mother and a wife and a sister and a daughter and a friend, let alone be a businesswoman. So just finding the time to fit all that in and try and keep some kind of balance and keep my mental health safe, you know, was challenging. So asking for help, I found, you know, not to be not to have too much pride, or just reach out and say, I do need help, thank you, and I'll take your help gratefully, thank you. Be very organized, being very focused on what you want to give your time and attention to. So, but the challenge was time. I guess another challenge was learning my own strengths and weaknesses. You know, you tend, when you start out a business, you're so full of excitement and you want to do everything and you want to do it yourself and you want to, you know, you jump straight in and it's busy, 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 and you tend to be doing all the time and not taking the time to stand back and reflect and say, well, what are the bits of this that I'm actually really good at myself? And what are the bits that somebody else would actually be better at? And reaching out and bringing people into the team. I think in my first business, I didn't bring people in quickly enough. In Myas, I've done the opposite now. I've brought people in right from the start because I guess I have the confidence now to know what I'm good at and not good at. And I don't mind admitting I'm not good at things anymore. You know, in the early days, you feel as if you have to have all the answers yourself, but in fact, you don't.
Yes, absolutely. It's good to have an idea of the different things, but recognizing what's draining your energy or what's taking away from what you do really well. That
exactly. And we're not all good at everything. And it's about understanding what are the bits of the business that I actually do excel in and then focusing on those. And it's working out as well what needs to be done in a business. You know, when you start up a business, there's so many small things that need to be done, even from just setting up bank accounts. I mean, those basic things that have to be done right through to business development and trying to get money coming in the door, you know, so they range from the sublime to the ridiculous. And again, it's about working out of all that myriad of activity that has to get done, what am I going to focus on? And for me, I tend to look at the big picture and see the big picture intuitively. So for me, it's about working on the business rather than in the business, you know, trying to get people around me that are very good at doing the day-to-day tasks that free me up to be able to do the thinking and the driving forward of the business.
Yeah. Exactly. And giving them the chance then to excel at their strengths while you're excelling at yours. And as it goes together then as a business, it actually works then and it grows. And it's such a good point. And I think it's where a lot of perhaps people starting out, they can feel overwhelmed and have that sense of, oh my God, there's so much to do. But there is help there and being able to ask for it. Yeah. Now, again, and I'm just fascinated, I suppose, by the industry that you're in. And dare I say, it's not for the faint-hearted. I would imagine the level of research and verification that's needed, the attention to detail is crucial to the very existence of the business, not to mention its success. So how have you gone about building credibility within the industry and convincing companies that Myas Pharma is the best partner to work with?
Yeah, the pharmaceutical sector is very highly legislated. You do have to be able to demonstrate experience and expertise. And you know, I was lucky through my career. I did work in industry for 10 years myself in various technical roles. Mm-hmm. I then was a regulator of that industry here in Ireland and also representing Ireland in the European Forum for Regulation of Medicines. So I think credibility came from initially industry, but then as a regulator, putting myself out there and letting myself be seen for good and bad. And showing people, I guess, putting yourself on a platform, showing people what you're capable of. Now, as a national inspector, I did that. Now, of course, I would have messed up loads of times. Everybody does. We're all human. But I think people do business with people. And if you're true to yourself and if you're honest, if you act with integrity, if you don't pretend you've all the answers to everything all the time, I think people know they can trust you. And that's what builds credibility. So when a company comes to us wanting to access the European marketplace and there's a myriad of legislation we've got to look at for their particular scenario, I will openly say to them, I don't have all the answers to the questions that you're posing to me, but I know I can get them. And they then know that they can trust that the answers I'll bring them will be robust and accurate. So because of the background that comes with it. So I do think it's about those things of being true to yourself, being honest and acting with integrity. I think that really is what builds credibility.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. And you wouldn't believe, I think this is perhaps my fourth or fifth recording, and every single business that I have spoken to up until now has talked about people buying people, that integrity, that honesty, and just people having that faith in you that if you don't know the answer, you can go off and get it. So I suppose they're part of the process as well.
Yeah, and it's them knowing that you have a team tucked behind you who will be able to go and do that research and find those answers. So it's a team that has experience and expertise. You know, you obviously have to get the right people on the bus.
So true, absolutely. So it's not a case that you're promising one thing and over-promising on what you can deliver, that you actually have the team behind you, as you say, on the bus, everybody on the bus moving forward.
Exactly. And in the right seats on the bus, that's important as well.
Yes, exactly. What was it Einstein that said about the fish trying to climb a tree? You know, you definitely don't want any of those. Everybody in their right position. So, Anne, clearly you have an excellent background in pharmaceuticals and that enables you to do the job very well. But let's talk about the business skills. So when you look back now, what business skills have you needed to develop as you've started out? How has your skill set developed as the business has moved forward?
I think I've grown very significantly at a personal level. I think I have learned, there's an awful lot, when you set up a business, there's an awful lot about putting business processes into place. You know, you have to have a process for financial management and a process for HR management and a process for business development and marketing and all these areas, administration, etc. So there's an awful lot of process development, but you can get people to do those. There are people who have great strength in that area and enjoy putting processes together and putting them into place. That isn't really me. So I did find that a challenge. I'm the person that has the ideas. So I'd be the one saying, oh, how about we do this and how about we do that? And everyone would go, yeah, great. And I'd say, great, now who's going to do it? So for me, it was building the skills, I guess, to get things started and know the point when I'm going to pass it over to somebody else who's actually going to do a better job of putting it into place than I will.
Yes.
Now it's time for me now to step away and give it to somebody to implement. So learning that about yourself, I guess, was something. Acting and not reacting, you know, challenges that come up every single day in business. If it's not one thing, it's another. If it's not a financial issue with trying to get invoices paid, it's losing key staff, or it's, you know, there's always something that is happening that has to be dealt with. And it's very easy to overreact and think that the world is collapsing in around you, when in fact it's not. Tomorrow is another day and it'll bring new opportunity. And I think a skill is being able to just take a deep breath, take a step back when something big hits, see it through. And you know, I do believe that things happen for a reason in life, and that often when something happens that appears to be dreadful at the time, something better might come of it. So it's about being able to work through it, to get through it and come up with something that's equally good for the business going forward. So it's that thing of acting and not reacting, I think, is a skill that I've built over the years. I think for me as well, I'm an introvert, and I find that lots of time in fora where I'm presenting, etc., drains my energy. And the people management part of a business has been challenging for me. And I have learned a lot of skills in that area. You know, it became very clear to me quite quickly that for a team to really perform well, you have to have, the leaders need to really understand the people on the team and their view of the world. And all of us have different views of the world. And in trying to deal with conflict or anything else, if you can understand the view of the world the other person has, it makes the whole scenario much more easy to deal with. So I would never get stressed now going into a meeting with people, even if it's a disciplinary meeting, even if it's an appraisal. It really doesn't matter now, because now it's about a chat and understanding, chatting to people about their view of the world. And is it compatible with the business? Is it what everyone needs going forward, etc.? So the whole people management piece is something that I feel I've grown and personally developed in. It's always a challenging one, though.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, where people are concerned, it is always a challenge. If we were just dealing with things that we could move around, but with people, you have, you know, are they having a good day, a bad day? But I love what you said there around how people view the world and understanding that. So it's almost going into those meetings and being curious about, okay, show me the world from your perspective.
Exactly.
Because everyone believes they're right.
Exactly.
Understanding, why do you believe you're right? And let me explain why I believe I am. And let's put these together.
Yeah, and it often diffuses, situations of tension can be diffused when you try to understand first. So another one I guess that I've learned over the years is not to be afraid to say I don't understand something. And that would have applied to me in terms of maybe understanding the financials in a business, because I don't have a financial background. So, you know, you'd be surrounded by financiers who are throwing figures and numbers, and I'd be saying, okay, but what does that mean? Tell me what those numbers actually mean. I can see the numbers, you know, and I can work out, I can see the figure at the bottom of the page, but tell me the implication of A, B, C, or D, and getting them to tell me the story behind the numbers. And for a long time, I felt a lack of confidence about being able to do that because I felt I should know this intuitively. I should be able to look at numbers and for them to tell me a story. But that isn't the way my brain works. So it took me a while to find my confidence to say to my financial people, okay, I see the numbers, but you need to tell me, what are they telling me? So what are you recommending? Are you recommending that we hire? Are you recommending that we don't hire? What are you recommending? You know, and kind of not to be afraid to say that the numbers aren't the story for me, you know.
Absolutely. God, Anne, on behalf of everybody who is not numbers orientated, thank you. Because we have so many fantastic entrepreneurs, you know, ideas, etc. And their skills lie in different areas. And there is that fear around challenging people or asking them for more information. But at the end of the day, you know, that's their tree that they're well able to climb up. They can talk about it till the cows come home. Let them translate it into our language to understand so that we have a full picture of the business.
Exactly.
What a brilliant, brilliant point. So speaking, I suppose, of people and networking is something in Leo Fingal that we're always talking about and trying to encourage. But how important has networking been for you in building the business?
Yeah, I think networking is essential for every business. Now, for my type of business, because we're so niche and we're so specialized, networking in a general sense of interacting with people across different business areas has probably not brought direct business to me over the years. Mm-hmm. But what it has done is, it has helped me to, by listening to others and by hearing what others in other businesses need and want and the stages that they're at in the development and growth of their business, it actually helps you to see that you're not alone on this path. You know, it helps to build your confidence because even though it's a different business, maybe they're still struggling with the HR piece, or they're struggling to understand the numbers, or they're struggling to know how to market their business or whatever. Mm-hmm. And to know that the journey, because being an entrepreneur and setting up and running your business can be very lonely.
Yes.
And networking can be a way of even just gaining that assurance that actually there's others on the same path, even if they're not in the same business as you, you know. So networking for that reason has been important for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find it's one of those things that it almost travels under the radar. You don't realize the benefit of it. But when you look back at the past 5 or 10 years and you look at the people you've met over the years and what a valuable connection they are, or that you're happy that you know them or you can give them a call, even if it is to recommend a good accountant or a good solicitor or something like that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it has always astounded me that there have been times when a person would have contacted me to do a bit of pharmaceutical business, and I'd say, and where did you hear of me? Oh, a cousin of mine who's in a completely different business was at a networking event and you were chatting and they remembered your name and they gave me your name. And you're thinking, oh my God, it really is such a small world, you know.
100%, yes. And in particular industries, and in Ireland in particularly, it is especially small, isn't it?
Yeah.
So no, that's great advice for anybody who's skeptical about that, the value of networking and the value of getting out and meeting people. It does pay its dividends in the end.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Anne, you touched on it previously. We talked about the people management side of things. So how would you describe your leadership style?
I know the word agile leadership is a popular term now. I guess it's a mix of different styles. At least I try and have a mix of different styles so that people get the best of me.
Yeah.
I guess in one way, I'd be pace setting. There's no doubt about that. I drive hard for results and I drive myself hard for results. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I can drive a team quite hard. And I have to be conscious and careful of that because I have to be careful I don't burn them out because I can be demanding. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I'll also be democratic. I always want to know what are the team's views, and I want very much to empower my team. I want them to be suggesting solutions. I want them to be suggesting improvement initiatives. I don't want it all coming from me. So I also like to coach. So, you know, there are people who have fantastic skills if you can unlock them or help them to unlock them. So I think by working along with the team as much as possible, showing them and helping them get the confidence that they can do this. Yes, it's a tough job, but yes, you can do this. I think it's a mix of all those things. It's probably authoritative in a way as well, in that I will set expectations and I will map the way, but with the team.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think to a degree that's very important. People do need to know what's expected of them. Otherwise, as you touched on, people could end up burning themselves out on perhaps what isn't necessarily a priority. So understanding the expectations is hugely important, particularly when it's a busy environment, an environment that's changing all the time, etc. So yeah, the showing up as you need to show up each day in various different forms. And I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs are the global thinkers. You know, we think outside the box. We tend to have an idea. And certainly I'm speaking for myself, when I share my idea with the team, I kind of feel that's it now. They should be able to get it and run with it. And I fail to comprehend that they don't have the vision I have for that thing. I've got to explain it. I've got to set it out. I've got to define it as a path for them. And then they'll come along. And I have to remind myself that I have to do that.
But it's such a good point. And I'm so glad you said that today, because there are people listening thinking, okay, maybe that's where I'm going wrong. The path hasn't been built yet. I haven't put that jigsaw together for them in their minds. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, they can't see inside our heads. God, it's a scary place to be.
Exactly. Nobody is a mind reader. And I suppose this is the classic thing as well. People don't know what you don't tell them. So even if you stick with that basic, that's a really good piece of advice. So my final question, Anne, if you were starting out again, what one thing would you do differently?
Oh, this is a tricky one. You know, the area that I'm in is professional services. That's my background. I suppose if I was starting out right from day one again, I'd probably say professional services is limiting because it's dependent on you, your ability, your expertise, your experience. To be able to set up a business where I make widgets, where it doesn't matter that it's me or anybody else driving it on a day-to-day basis, I think must be easier. But then I guess those people would say, no, it's harder for another reason. So I don't know, to be honest, if there's anything I'd do fundamentally differently, because my area of comfort is this area. I think maybe, as I said, this is my fifth business and two of them were unsuccessful. I think what I've learned over the years, and I have to stop myself and make sure I do it, is not to jump in. Do more research before jumping in. I tend to get tons of ideas and I want to just run with the idea. And I really need to stop myself, make myself take a breath, make myself step back, think about it, do more research, talk to people about, you know, is this truly a good idea or is it just that Anne wants it to be a good idea before I jump and give it my energy. So I think that's probably, for those two businesses that failed, I should have done that better.
Brilliant advice, Anne. It's just validating it and bringing other people in. And you touched on that before, that thing of asking for help, or even just asking for someone's opinion and not being afraid of the answer.
Yeah, exactly. And being open, actually, it's not only not being afraid of the answer, but being open to really hear the answer.
Yes, yes. And what does that mean? Almost detaching yourself from it and being objective to say, okay, well, if that is the case, then what does that look like?
Yeah, and sometimes that means fail fast, just move on. You know?
Yes, exactly. And not being too attached to it, because sometimes you do have that option to leave it at that point and that's it. And I suppose even in an existing business where you're at now, sometimes the failing fast and moving on will open the door for something better and something new.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Anne, thank you so much. My goodness, so many nuggets of information. And I know at the start you mentioned the reason that partners do business with you is the honesty and the integrity. And that was in bucket loads throughout this interview. And I'm sure will be of huge benefit to businesses and entrepreneurs who are starting up. Anne McGee of Mice Pharma, thank you so much.
Not at all. My pleasure, Sian.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Fingal. For more information and to keep up to date with our services, check out www.localenterprise.ie/Fingal and sign up to our newsletter.